Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. It's been a second. MWWire.com, you can find our bold previews, our transfer portal tracker, bold opt-outs, Josh. The reason we waited to record a podcast, because, Josh, what's the point of, besides hearing us chat about random stuff, because that's what we do, to go through news that would be outdated literally 12 seconds after we post a podcast about portal news?
Yeah.
There's no reason. So today's show, this will be bold preview part one, which will be later on in the show because we have the – what's the official name for the Gronk Bowl? Is it, can we just call it the Gronk Bowl or is it the L.A. Bowl? What's the official name
here? The L.A. Bowl. Is it the L.A. Bowl hosted by Gronk?
Also national anthem singer Gronk as well, which we'll get to later.
He didn't do that good on the Masked Singer. I don't know why.
Yeah. It's his bowl game. That's why.
It's the all right. The official name is the Starco Brands LA Bowl, hosted by Gronk.
What is Starco Brands? Vodka drinks. It's an alcohol. See, you know what this means, and I know I said we'd start do bowl games at the end, Josh, here, but this means he gets he's second billing, which means he pays less, right?
I don't know. Did the puking camel? Do you think the puking camel made more than Gronk will?
That better show up if it's not. The Jimmy Kimmel? We need Kimmel to show up to hand the torch off to Gronk. That has to happen, right?
Yeah, it does. It
has to happen. So we have that game. That's later in the day in Inglewood. Then we have New Mexico State, Fresno State in the New Mexico Bowl. And we'll get to that sponsor later. But these games, like, honestly, you look at betting lines and you look at over-unders, it's like, honestly, just throw darts in some of these games, right? Because all these players are, there's like a million players in the portal. We'll kind of start with that a little bit, like guys transferring. The portal window opened up on Sunday, I guess, from after the bowl announcements. And we barely got into it, but there's so many players moving, which is fine. Players hopefully find a home, fingers crossed, because some of these guys may be left on the lurch a little bit just because they think they can go somewhere else. They try to come back. They can't come back. There's no scholarships. So, first off, I didn't realize – I kind of knew, but we'll start – we'll go alphabetical. And we'll just mention a few teams here. There's nothing too big to get into because we don't need to go through every name. But Air Force surprised me, Josh. I forgot that they can leave. Isn't it something like – if they leave before their sophomore year ends, they're able to transfer because then they owe a bunch of money for their education in the academy? Is it something like that?
I think there's something in the summer of their sophomore year before their junior year. So as long as they leave before that, I think it's fine.
Okay, that's what I thought too. There's a time frame.
Apparently they can also grad transfer.
Yes, because remember Isaiah Hamilton went to Stanford as a grad transfer.
Oh, yeah, that is right.
From a couple years ago, which he didn't do anything, but, dude, you get an Air Force degree and didn't go to Stanford? Sign me up, right? Go do that. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I guess the big names you have, John Lee Eldridge is out of there. That's – I don't know how surprised I am with that because they didn't use him that much this year. Not as much as I thought they would. He basically had the same amount of carries as last season.
Yeah, I mean – There were times, I think we even mentioned at the beginning, or at least you and Matt might have, was like he was expected to play a big role and then just straight up didn't at all.
And he is a grad transfer. And is it, should he have put his phone number on Twitter? Just asking.
Wait, what?
Yeah, if you click on the link, we have Matt did a bunch of these, and you have the link, like, it'll be like the source, like, oh, it's Twitter, it's our website, it's a different website, it's whatever. So if it's like a high school thing, which is fine. He goes, I officially entered the transfer portal as a grad transfer in May, 1 year eligibility, height, weight, stats, email, and phone number.
I don't know. Wow.
And he is going to play in the bowl game as well, it says. He responded to somebody on Twitter. He will play against James Madison. But that's interesting, right?
Hey, it's a choice.
It's fine.
Definitely a choice.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, it's a phone number, not necessarily if it's his phone number or if it's like a voicemail set up. That's the move I'd make. You make like a Google voice number. So when they call you, it's not your actual phone number, so you can still handle those calls. So please be smart enough to do that, John Lee Eldridge III. Please be smart enough to do that. So that's kind of big one for Air Force. Boise State, Taylor Green, I guess the big one there. We'll get to the bowl game later. He's going to why would anybody follow Bobby Petrino at Arkansas? Can you give me a good reason? Any reason?
Money. It's the only reason I can think of.
Because KJ Jefferson did pretty good there, and he's off. Do we know where he's at? I know he's in the portal. Has he found a place? Not that it matters, but I'm just going to think. Because they are a somewhat similar skill set.
No.
Not yet.
Wait, really? Hold on. I got to check this article.
Go for it. We also knew Eric McAllister out. We knew that receiver. Keenan McCaddy is going to a community college. That's an interesting move. And Kevon Wright, defense lineman.
All right.
Anything?
As of now, there's been no decision by KJ Jefferson. Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. So, like, Taylor Green, why would he – I guess – do you think, because we know when Andy Avalos left, before he left, they're going back and forth. He was, but he's a starter due to injury at the end of the year. Do you think there's a conversation told it'd be like a quarterback battle or there'd be something where it may not start?
I mean, he may have been pulling something out to save his job.
Yeah.
But like he may have started because was he pulling the QB switch the entire year? I don't remember.
Pretty much, majority of it, after like a game or so, a couple games in. But I figured with Avalos gone and with, you know, all the coaching turnover and the coaching, you know, I mean, just coaching staff, then the injury and everything with when he was splitting time with everybody. But I don't know if it was the right move. I don't know. It seems odd, right? Because he looked to do fine with Spencer Danielson not pulling him, letting him play and do things. I don't know. He seemed reasonably good. So I don't know.
To be fair, that was because Mattson had surgery.
Well, I know that too. But also I get that. Mattson, correct? Not Mason.
Maddox Mattson.
Yeah. I want to say Mason for some reason. I don't know why. It's not Mason. I get like he. I don't know. It just seems a move where he's probably going to walk in and be the starter. I just have so many Bobby Petrino jokes or lack of respect for that guy to care to be for his life. Not even how his lifestyle was, but just lying and just being a scumbag at the Falcons, at Arkansas before. But wish him good luck. I just felt with new head coach who changed, that might be having to stick around, but I guess that's not the case. So he's gone. Anybody in your Rams you're disappointed that's leaving? Any big names? Got a couple Jackson Stratton never gets to see the field at quarterback, obviously.
The only name I am surprised, and I think a lot of us is TJ Crandall.
Why is that?
He's a freshman cornerback. He was getting some starting time.
Mm-hmm.
We think it may be a similar McAllister situation where he was promised money or something. Because he performed well. Like, he was on track to become our starting corner next year. And, like, it is a big loss for our defense.
Could you think it was he got better and he wanted to get some more cash and they're like, we don't really have it for you?
I mean, CSU has one of the top G5 NILs.
Yeah.
But it can't really compete with the P5s. I mean, even look at Utah. Do you see what they did today?
Of course I did. I had to talk about it on my radio show today. Yes, they had Jeeps and trucks for the women's. What it is, for people that know, they already gave all their football scholarship players trucks, 85. Today, men's and women's basketball teams got a Jeep or a truck and the gymnastics team as well. So, yeah. That's pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
If you can get it, if you can get a truck for at least as long as you're on scholarship, go for it, right? Insurance paid for. Yeah, I would. It's a, one of the bigger deals in the country. It's not actual cash, but it's still, you don't have to worry about transportation, right?
Yeah.
So it's there's a million reasons, and the portal thing, it's all just up in the air because I don't want – this is a bigger conversation to have, but it's like the calendar's a piece of trash. There's too much stuff going on at the moment for any coach. Early in signing period next week, which, okay, cool. You have like 8 of the top 10 quarterbacks nationally have transferred at least once. 3 of the 4 Heisman finalists transferred. You know what I mean? Like, it's complete craziness. Then we have the Charlie Baker thing, the NCAA president saying to pull the NIL to the university where, you know, Josh, they suddenly never could have money to pay directly, but all of a sudden they do. There's – and then you got the lawsuit today where they were restraining the order where he could transfer more than once and play out right away. Those basketball players from West Virginia, I think Cincinnati. So it's – people are leaving for a million reasons. I don't blame the anything from going and getting out there. It's just – it's just hard to keep track. That's part of it, too. It's like, I don't know. But it's also – and I'm not blaming a guy. Oh, I want to get commitment. I want this. I want to get paid. Because is Crandall going to be an NFL player? I don't know. Is he on that trajectory?
No one knows.
That's a, it's I mean,
he was making plays, but he's also making freshman mistakes.
Yeah. Too, so I don't know. All this, I don't – the movement, it's fine. Do it. And I don't need, like, less regulation. That's why the – lawsuit went through, like, I think there's some Sherman Act where it's the temporary, I should say, where it's like free movement or some sort of trade thing because technically you can get money.
Oh, interstate commerce or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's called the Sherman Act or Sherman Antitrust Act or something like that where it involves money and limiting your opportunity essentially to make a living, even though these guys aren't air quotes employees because they're not, they should be. But
you know what this is going to lead to, right?
What is it?
Contracts.
It has to be because. Well, okay, we'll get back to that. The NCAA thing last week, the trust thing where it would be the schools would pay directly, which gets rid of the NIL from outside, I'm assuming. That's what they want to do, keep it in-house. $30,000 per player minimum if you could do it in its own separate subdivision itself. But they're not saying they're employees. This will lead to things like convention contracts where you're locked into a school to play a sport and get paid. And again, $30,000, not a ton when you think about it compared to what can be out there for some positions.
Well, here's my thing about that. It was just some random YouTube video, but it got brought up on the college football subreddit. And like, yeah, he says it can get around Title IX. And he's like, no, it can't.
Not if you're paying directly from the school.
Well, it can't get around Title IX, period, because you have to have access. You have to have equal access to resources as well.
Yeah, it's like that's correct. Because right now, some people are saying, "Oh, the reason the women's gymnastics team or women's basketball team in Utah got trucks was because of that Title IX." I could be wrong. I don't think I am. But if it's not compensation or, like you mentioned, access to, like, that's why scholarship counts. That's why there's fewer men's sports than women's sports typically, because football has 80 something scholarships, and there's no woman equivalent team that could have anything close to that scholarship number. I think it's I don't think football is exempt from that. I think there's a percentage-wise where you got to be pretty close, pretty much even scholarship availability, just about. I know it's not quite the same because football has so many. Because I know gymnastics has 12, basketball is 15, softball is not a headcount sport, so they may have fewer per person, swimming, tennis, golf, whatever sports they have that aren't – not every athlete gets a scholarship. But if you're getting paid from a collective that's not directly from the university, that's not a Title IX thing. Am I correct on that?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's you know.
Trying to get him out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I don't believe so, but it also brings into, so, like, it brings into the question of, like, is if the university is going to treat them different, like, it because this all comes down to who, like, where does the, like you're saying, the payment, who does the payment come from? But if the university is going to be required to treat them different, like, they're also going to have to treat the other athletes different too. And that comes down to, all right, if these people are getting paid and they're getting treated different, we can't just treat these other athletes different. They also have to get paid, and the university is going to have to make up that difference.
Yeah.
Again, we're not lawyers.
No. Yeah. It looks like here, I'm reading something really quickly. Like, with NIL, like, this kind of, we didn't look at this before, and I kind of assumed, which is wrong sometimes. I know if it's struggling from a school, you have to have basically equal, like I said, facilities, equal access to things, similar scholarship account, cost of attendance, those type of things. It's basically Title IX sort of has to be part of NIL, but not really, because if the school's not paying, not the case. It's like an NCAA school's compliance, let's read this here. In other words, it's part of NIL, regulated NIL. This is way off topic, folks. In other words, NCAA school's compliance with state and NCAA NIL regulations does not preclude or mitigate a Title IX violation. So it's like a gray area, because it also, it would look bad, right? That's part of optics. Optics would look bad. So, because I know Miami, Florida, offered, they had a similar thing to BYU. I know BYU had a similar thing where this company Built Bar, which makes terrible bars. I've tried them. They're not good at all. Every single player on football and women's sports, I don't know how many, was basically given whatever it costs to go to school. If you're a walk-on, your school's paid for. If you're a scholarship athlete, you got paid the amount of the scholarship worth. So if school – and BYU's not super expensive. It might be not even $10,000 a year. I'm not sure. But whatever it was – if you're a scholarship athlete, you got paid that money. If you weren't, you get your school paid for. So it looks bad. That's what kind of probably why Utah, like, okay, we got money for women's basketball, gymnastics, women's sports. Those are all very popular, especially Utah women's basketball. They're really, really good this year, and the gymnastics is always amazing. But if it, you're right, Josh, if it goes toward the school, it has to be somehow the same, because the $30,000 is a minimum. So what is it? But there's no cap.
So here's the thing: is it is not just football. It's actually, I'm reading the ESPN article. It's half of scholarship athletes.
Correct. That's what it's half.
Yeah.
Like that, but it's also, you have it open there. I don't. That's why I forgot the half of scholarship athletes. Is it $30,000
minimum
per athlete that gets money? Right.
This paragraph. The second mechanism for paying players would be through an enhanced educational trust fund. Yeah. Sorry. They could propose creating a new subdivision for schools willing to set aside extra money for their athletes. To be part of the subdivision, schools would have to give a minimum of $30,000 per year to each of at least half their scholarship athletes. That seems weirdly written to me, but basically, essentially creating a minimum wage for some. For an average power conference athletic department, this would mean a minimum investment of roughly $7 to $10 million extra per year, about 10% of the annual budget.
So with that, what that's me saying, you cannot spread that to everybody, unless you want to.
Yeah.
So how weird would that be? I know it's a little bit weird now at NIL, but if you know, you either get $0 or $30,000 plus.
Yep.
So.
Well, that might be an addition to NIL.
I don't, that doesn't say that, because because what it says, part of the article, I remember from Dellinger and ESPN, the schools basically would buy the rights, so everything would be in-house, which is kind of how it should be done anyways, to make it more clean, because right now, I'll talk to Coach Whittingham, or we talk to Coach Kleinstocki at BYU, or Blake Anderson at Dell State. They're like, we want nothing and should literally know nothing about it. They're aware of it, but they're not supposed to be, hey, this player's getting $4,000 a month to do something, for promote some company or post on social, being a commercial. You know what I mean? Or they got $25,000 and access to a house or apartment or something due for this real estate company they're working for. In-house, it makes more sense. But this would seem like it could create more problems. Because also, you mentioned, Josh, it seems this would be a new division, which would mean does Title IX even matter, despite that being a federal thing, not just a college thing, not just NCAA, but a federally relegated thing overall for athletics with NC2A. So if they go out of NC2A, which is not what they want to do because they want to keep basketball and other sports involved. I know we're going way crazier, but this is quite, I'm fascinated by all this stuff.
So there's actually an article on it. There's a paragraph in this ESPN article on it, too.
What is that part? Because I remember kind of about it. They want to still compete, right, with Division One for other sports.
For the Title IX part.
Oh, what is that Title IX part? So, yes, go proceed.
Yeah, so it's like these proposals will help improve gender equity by more evenly distributing some of the money. A judge would likely have to decide exactly how these unprecedented payments to athletes would fit, but past rulings about other benefits that schools give to their athletes provide some guidance. For the trust fund money, Title IX would likely dictate that schools distribute a proportionate amount to men and women.
Okay.
So if it's 10 million and half of the varsity athletes are women, you know, five go to men, five million go to women.
Mm-hmm.
For NIL deals specifically, schools have to at least provide equal opportunity. It is still unclear as to whether they need to provide equal payouts.
For NIL, not the trust fund, right? Not the trust, right?
Yeah. Trust fund has to be equal. NIL just proportionate. Has to have equal opportunity to get it.
So what that tells me, proportionate is not 50-50, because with the number of football players, it's still pretty close, but it's not exactly 180 scholarships for men, 180 scholarships for women. It's pretty close proportionate. But what the opportunity means, Josh, I guarantee if I say, you're like, oh, that makes sense. Here's an email or phone number to contact company X. You have the opportunity to get a hold of them, but if it's reciprocated, it's up to the company to pay you or not, if you're worth it. I guarantee that's all that means for the most part. Like, oh, we have a particular person in our athletic department helps NIL, and you're a sophomore soccer player. Hey, what can I do? What's out there? Probably not a ton unless you're doing camps or clinics or something, or help some local sporting goods store. I think that's all it means, but I don't know if any Mountain West school could do this, because that's a lot of money. If there's no cap on it, okay. It's still going to look weird if you have 42 football players, get 30 grand. Then you have quarterback, receiver, tight end, star, center getting 90,000, 100,000. It's just a mess. And plus, this is because also, Josh, how many times has NCAA won a lawsuit and when they go to court? What's the record? It's not good, right?
In the past couple of years, it's like 0 and something.
0-for. You know what it's going to lead to? This is a Band-Aid. What they honestly should do, like you mentioned before, contracts. The easiest way to do it is to be employees. This trust is like kind of slowly getting them there. If they're just to say, hey, you have to have to get any money, like any job, you have to have minimum requirements, KPIs, or like your job. If you do crappy stuff, you're getting fired, not getting paid. Not saying they wouldn't get fired, but if you're not eligible, you're not getting any money. Right? So you have to go to class, you have to do this. That has to be part of it too. But make them dang employees. But the only problem with that, I guess, would be transferring wise and leaving. There's all the more legalese above my pay grade, but they're getting to where they should be, as closer to be, to make this work what's more proper for what they provide to these universities.
I mean, I feel like to at least have some semblance of it being, you know, for school, like, I feel like grades will have to be a part of it. But yeah, we all know it's just going to be the money for, it's basically just going to be paid advertisements.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, like the Flutie effect, those type of things. He makes a Hail Mary, gets Boston College versus Miami. You have Gonzaga first time going to the Final Four. You have a guaranteed San Diego State going to the Final Four in the national championship game. So they did see an increase of applications. Same with Florida Atlantic. Same when George Mason did it. When St. Peter's, when Florida Gulf Coast, when you have even guaranteed right now, whatever you want to think of Liberty University and what their school stands for and what who's involved with it, they'll get more interest in it because they're going to the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's, to me, it's pretty simple. If you're an athletic, if you want to keep up, because they want to make a sub-division, which may skirt some of these rules, but we'll move on. This is kind of getting too deep in the weeds. But if you're a Mountain West school, and like, hey, we're going to pay athletes 30 grand, whatever it may be, that's, they're going to have less money in coaching salaries. That's fine. They're going to have to figure out some way, but they can always pay it, almost all these schools. If you're you sign a contract, you're an employee of the university, essentially. You do what you're doing now, do your sport, do those, blah, 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 blah. There's going to be labor relations coming involved. The only way you could probably get removed is it like not paid the same thing now if you're not eligible, whether from grades, off the field issue, off the court issues, off whatever sport you play, away from your activity, legal issues. The only thing it comes down to is how they're going to be paid, because Charlie Baker doesn't want to say your employees, because that's the worst thing in the world, because unions and negotiating and things like that. And they want a separate division because there's more money in that when you have, say, 48 teams instead of 130. And those teams can afford to pay it. Your TV rights money is going to be bigger. You can pay these athletes bigger, more in football, less in other sports, which is honestly fair. And the only issue they'd have is can they compete in Division One with, say, softball, baseball, swimming, soccer, tennis, while still having an unfair advantage by getting extra money and then NIL thing. But it's going to be employees where they negotiate the revenue rights and they get a cut like the NBA, NFL, where it's, okay, play athletes, on-field product gets 51% of the money from revenue. That's where it's going to go. It's where it should go, right?
I mean, it should, or they'll just be they'll do it like the UFC and they only get 20%.
The UFC is a complete joke. Dana White is terrible. I know a guy who fought in the UFC, associated with the UFC. High price fighters get not much money.
Nope.
So we'll move on from there. It's a little complicated, but I think I'm going to ask you this real quick before we move on because we got sidetracked. If you're a couple Mountain West teams, what teams could afford to do this if it's a 30K per athlete? Do you have a list that you think they can make it?
Off the top of my head, there's probably only 3 to 4.
Which one?
San Diego State,
mm-hmm.
Boise State. I could see CSU forcing their way into that conversation.
Yeah.
And I feel, no, I want to say Fresno State, but I think Matt would laugh me out of the room.
He would say do it, but don't increase student fees and not publicly funded money, which is the case for anywhere. Don't vote for that stuff because it's usually bad interest.
Does maybe Hawaii?
I think they just drop football.
That's a possibility too. But I can't see more than 3 to 4.
I think UNLV could.
I did forget about UNLV, yeah. Right.
And for a weird reason, I think Air Force Academy could do it too.
Well, I think that brings up a whole other side conversation.
I know, yeah. It's that because the US government involved, they go to school for, it's all paid for, which is great.
Yeah.
So that could be done because of that aspect. Like if you go Navy, Army, the big academies where you go and you have the commitment, you're repaying your commitment by you're joining the Army after college, after Air Force.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they get a stipend anyway?
Probably. No, they get the COA and stuff like that, yeah.
So yeah, like they're getting paid anyway.
So. Well, so are other places. You get cost of attendance at every school now.
I mean, that is true, but I think that was like they were getting paid before that.
I'm not sure about that. Possibly, I'm probably
wrong, but I always thought that like even the cadets were getting like, you know, a stipend for you know, trading and stuff.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But I think they could be involved, but it would just be weird. And I don't know where it's sports or just collegiate stuff. It's all a complete mess. But all I don't want, here's what I tell you I don't want. Players can move as much as they want. They need to be compensated better than what they are right now at any level, whatever sport you're doing. I don't want it to be, hey, I'm gonna go play this sport from moving to after high school to go play at the Colorado Fort Collins Rams City minor league system, because nobody's going to watch it. If it was popular, people would watch minor league baseball, and they'd watch the G League more often. They'd go watch other minor league sports. That's what I don't want it to be, and I hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
All right, back to stuff. Here we go. Let's get to our stuff we're talking about. We took a sidetrack there, which was exciting and fun. Fresno State, players leaving. Logan Fife's the big one, right? Quarterback who played a decent amount this year. Grad transfer. Okay, is Sly out of quarterbacks now, Josh? Joey Ellen's gone. Shager's likely gone. Jonah Chong is going to be gone, looks like.
I have to look. Like, who is left for them?
Yeah, they don't have a bowl game. It doesn't matter. They just got to wait and figure out on August 28th, whatever, next year when they play their opener.
Yeah.
There's not much more interest here. Nevada, whatever. We'll get to their coaching situation. Let's go to... So, Nevada, you see they're only keeping one guy on staff from this past year?
To be fair, I would, too. Like, with how bad that was. Like, did they... We can ask Brandon afterwards, be like, besides Virgil Green, who bleeds silver and blue,
yeah,
who else on that staff was even worth keeping?
Nobody.
Yeah.
So I brought in Jeff Schoedt to be the head coach. $1 million here. He's number 10 of 11 coaching salary.
I think they stole the safeties coach from Boise, too.
Oh, boy.
I believe he's now the defensive coordinator.
Interesting. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right. They did make that move. I don't know, man. It's a tough place to play. It's a TBD, right? It can't be worse than last year, can I? Can it be?
I mean, they had two wins. They can always go to one.
Oh, stop it. Come on. Don't be mean.
Just say
it. They go to 0-2, man. They can always be worse. You can't be fine. Be the person who looks at every possibility. Hey, they can also win 9 games next year. Is that going to happen? No.
No.
Oh, my gosh. So what about Nevada, New Mexico's head coach? They brought in Bronco Mendenhall, which on a scale of 1 to 10, like how weird is that for you?
Didn't Mendenhall start his career in New Mexico, though?
Yes, he did.
I don't think it's that weird, then. If he had no connection to New Mexico whatsoever, I'd say, yeah, it'd be like a 9.5 on the weird scale, out of 10 on the weird scale. But he has a connection to New Mexico. I think that drops it down to like a 3.
A 3. So here's my thoughts on it. Having been around him a little bit, he's a weird dude regardless. And we'll get to Craig Bull in a minute with that situation, because I think he would have taken that job over. It's a better situation. But you're right. The reason it's kind of weird, because he was at BYU. He's at Virginia. He loves college football because he wasn't a huge fan of what we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about, portal, NIL stuff. But he's also going to a place, Josh, where he can just kind of chill and hide, where he's kind of known – when he was Rocky Long being as a DC. And he's a West Coast guy, BYU, Oregon State as well. He played football at Oregon State. I think it's a place where he wants to coach, and there's not going to really be a big, too much pressure on him, specifically dealing with NIL portal. That's why I think his thought process is.
I think he just missed the chili.
I don't know. What type of food they got in Virginia? Didn't like seafood? I don't know.
but I also think he missed coaching, and I also think you're right. I think he did want to deal with the pressure of the bigger programs, and he could take a laid-back approach, you know, do it the way he wants without a lot of pressure and just have fun with it.
He is. Like, USA Today put up the coaching higher ranking order, and he was, I think, number one. As for the actual football coach, like the other stuff aside, there is skepticism to that. Here's the part of the reason, he turned around Virginia, who was terrible, had a really good year, and he would bring in Armstrong until he got hurt late in the year, a couple years ago. He did leave for those reasons I mentioned, for portal, NIL, transfer stuff, not a huge fan. Maybe he learned about it. I tell you what, I'd rather have him over Gary Patterson, who basically packed it in at TCU the past couple years.
And he was if you maybe pick between the two, it would be Broca Mendenhall.
Because Mendenhall left on I don't know his record was last year in Virginia, but he turned them around to be a really good team. And Patterson, the first year he's gone, what does Sonny Dykes do? Playoff.
Yeah, but then they barely made a bowl game this year.
Hey, you can never take away the playoff from them.
That is true.
National runner ups. But
Michigan Science Daily didn't work that year.
Yeah, that's fine, that's cool. You're right. They said they changed everything. But as for, like, the coaching itself, this is a really good hire. And he's bringing in Nick Howell, who he used to coach with. He's a Vanderbilt, got demoted, come over to BDC. Rocky Long's going to kind of hang around, I think, and just kind of chill and be a little off-the-field guy, hands-off, I believe, from my understanding. But the hire itself, like, as for talent-wise, it's a really good hire. And so let's move on to Wyoming. What was your, like, when you heard Craig Bowles, like, I'm stepping down after the matchup this month, were you happy? Were you okay? Are you concerned that they now might find a good coach to be able to beat Colorado State?
Well, I mean, Bill's kicked our ass for however many years. So I was like, all right, my first thought was, all right, we may be able to have a chance.
It's on me. You're getting a chance.
And then they hired the defense coordinator, and Jesse's like, yeah, you guys might actually have a chance now.
Why make that move? Because there was rumblings. Jesse mentioned us, like, he's hearing, like, hey, there could be a potential of him retired. Like, and even Craig Bowles said, I'm going out on my own terms, like, about 3 weeks ago. Remember that? He's like, if I'm going to go out, I'm going out on my own. Did they even search for this job?
I think that had to be the compromise. Like, if I think the AD was like, all right, if I ask you to step down, what would it actually take for you to step down? He's like, you hire him as the head coach.
He has that much leverage to do that?
I mean, he's their most successful coach in how many years?
I know. I'm just saying, man.
I mean, would you basically run that city? I think you could have your choice of how you want to leave.
Yeah, I could see that. No, I get, like, he can leave if I want to. That's not what I'm getting at. It's like him being big enough to, hey, this guy's going to be our coach. I don't like the move because it seems like they didn't do their homework. Had they known this happening, Broca Mendenhall would have gone to Wyoming instead for a much better situation with the similar lifestyle that he's hanging out in Montana, man.
No.
You don't think
there's more pressure at Wyoming than there is in New Mexico.
No, I mean, no, not pressure. I mean, like, okay. I'm going to try to rephrase this. Maybe not.
I mean, I get your point. Like, yeah, lifestyle, you know, that out west, like, the middle of nowhere type of feeling.
There's pressure, but not like he could. I don't know. There's pressure. It's different pressure everywhere. New Mexico's way lower than Wyoming. But I mean, if I'm being honest, the difference of trying to win those places, the upside's better at Wyoming, clearly. There is some pressure to win, but it's going to be nothing like he faced before BYU or Virginia. It's still a step up, but it's in the same neighborhood. It's just that Wyoming's up here on this looking over the hill, and New Mexico's around the corner. We're like, we're trying to build a pool, but let's go with the above-ground pool instead. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, it depends on if you can't dig that deep.
Okay, does New Mexico have the shovels? I don't know, man. I just think the move is lazy to promote from within.
Oh, I agree with you there. It's not like – it's just like they didn't even pretend to have a search.
Because you're right. The way it was – because I remember I got the email. I'm like, who's the coach going to be? 10 minutes later, email comes in. They're promoting the DC to be the head coach. Why would, like, what type of cert? Like, we know this. What I know, this podcast is going off the rails. We're already 35 minutes. Haven't talked about the games. It's okay. We'll get there. It's our show. Leave us alone. But when did they tell Craig Bull? I mean, when did the decision to come down to? I'm going to step down because there was zero word about this outside of very little murmurs heard from Jesse. And then Craig Bolcott hinted at it.
Andrew might have mentioned something.
Or Andrew, one of the, for which one. But what type of search did they do? Or they say, we're talking about this and you have to promote this guy.
I think it was a case of, this is just opinion, I don't know for a fact, like just the way everything was announced, the fact that there were very little rumblings, it was a case of, all right, if you're making me step down, this is how it's going to go down. Otherwise, no, I'm not stepping down. You will fire me and pay me.
I don't want to look up his contract. I'm curious what was left on it, but we'll see. It's just, here's the best thing for them. So go hire an off. You know who you should hire? Like, what's Graham Harrell doing? Have him be your OC up there. Is Graham Harrell doing anything important at the moment?
He's a coach somewhere. Hold on.
I know, I'm looking up too. But
there is no way Graham Harrell would come to Wyoming.
Where is he at right now? He is chilling in... Okay, never mind. He's a Purdue offensive coordinator. I didn't realize that. Never mind. I thought he's an analyst somewhere, so I apologize.
Texas, USC, West Virginia, Purdue.
I thought he's just some random analyst somewhere. That must be. Yeah. I know Kingsbury's an analyst at USC, just chilling. My mistake that he's not going to go there. But I mean, okay.
Can you imagine Cliff Kingsbury and Laramie?
Heck yeah. Bring it on. He was at Washington State and Oklahoma State. He was at West Virginia. Come on. Those places aren't that much different.
Yeah, but did you see his house in Arizona?
That's Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
No, I said Graham Harrell.
Oh.
Oh, you said Harrell to Wyoming. Like, why not? This place. No, yeah,
Cliff Kingsbury to Wyoming.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But yes, yes, I remember the draft day photo. But basically, bringing a guy who's an offensive dude should say, okay, you run the offense. Do what Kyle Whittingham kind of has done at Utah. Took him a while to figure it out. Do what these – don't pull Kirk Ferentz and do defense only, offense optional. Bring in a guy to run your offense and do your thing, right?
Yeah, I think what they could have done is just – if they wanted to, like, completely go everything, they could have just paid Bowles money to go away and just hired Brett Pidgen back. But I think they respected Bull too much and let him have a little bit of a say on his way out.
Okay. All right, let's get to games here. We're done with nonsense. Ready for games till we might know who's playing?
Yeah.
Emphasis on might. All right, so we have two games this weekend. Two Mountain West bowl games. Lots of bowl games going on, but we'll get two. I'm glad we have two because years past we had like four or five. Like, everything's done in one weekend. Sad. New Mexico State at Fresno, or excuse me, versus Fresno State in Albuquerque. Do you think, this is a weird thing, maybe it's a good thing to ask Roger at one point, do the Aggies, are they going to like playing in the rival stadium for a bowl game?
Is Diego Pavia going to piss on the field?
I don't know. Has he done that before? Is that something I'm not aware of?
Do you not remember this? Hold on. This was big news when it happened.
No, I honestly don't. No.
Hold on. So the other thing about this game is it's actually close to being sold out.
Nice.
New Mexico State's a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under is 52.5.
Mm-hmm.
And there is apparently video evidence of him urinating on the UNM logo.
Oh, boy. Okay. Fine. Just please don't do that.
And Pavia recently won the Bradley Van Pelt Award at courtesy of Spencer Hall.
What award is that? Because he's beautiful for it?
The Bradley Van Pelt Award, I believe, is college football's most college football player.
Okay, because I assume Bradley Van Pelt named after him because he took the football and spiked it on the Colorado Buffalo guy after scoring a touchdown in the Rocky Mountain Showdown back in like 2002.
And the original article of Banner Society states exactly that.
Yeah, nailed it. Exactly. But he's also the guy who beat Auburn.
Yep.
Not only beat Auburn, took care of business versus the Auburn Tigers, War Eagle, whatever you want to call them. He's a guy. Did he win? Because they didn't win. Obviously, they didn't win Conference USA because that's what Liberty won, is going to the Orange Bowl Festival. They put up a huge game against Liberty, back and forth. Offense is the case. Defense optional. Offensive line, is 20 sacks good, Josh? I'm asking for a friend. Is 20 sacks allowed?
total for the year?
It's okay.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's okay. I'm just looking at his sack yardage. It's minus 124, which seems like a lot.
I mean, that's a little bad. But...
maybe that's what I'm looking at. Like, So for the Aggies here, Paev is good. He's also the leading rusher, so there's that to consider. They do have Star Thomas and Monte Watkins. They go deep with the amount of players they go, but nobody overly dominant. They do good 6 yards a carry, but there's no number one huge back, getting like a 1,000-yard guy getting 7 yards a carry. There's none of that. I mean,
they also don't have a number one receiver really either,
which is weird. Jonathan Brady's okay. Well,
I mean, he's only 60 yards ahead of the next.
Hold on. You're going to disrespect Trent Hudson, who has 10 touchdowns on 35 catches?
I mean, I'm just looking at yardage.
No, I know. He finds a million guys. Like, they don't have one number one, but they have Brady 37, Hudson 35. Eli Stowers, I guess, is the receiver. He's just quarterback. You see that?
Yeah, I just saw, wait, what?
He's pulling a Nick Nash, man.
He's 4 of 8 on the year. He has 29 carries for 125 yards. Yeah, he's 32 receptions for 346 yards on a touchdown.
It was just Taysom Hill in college again for the Saints. Taysom Hill.
I mean, he's 6'4", 225 pounds. He might be.
That's a dude. There you go. Get him to the NFL, man. Yeah, technically, so I'm over at Underdog Dynasty. They have a little bit more detail in here. He's technically listed as wide receiver, tight end, and quarterback. Also, Jerry freaking Kill has been healthy for the past couple of years since his seizure issues in Minnesota. Double-digit victories. This is one of the biggest turnarounds since possibly Fresno State when Jeff Tedford took over.
Yeah. I mean, Kill's done an incredible job, and I think that was just what he was looking for. Like, he's finally getting to show what he can actually do.
Yeah, and I'm glad he's still sticking here. I know he's been older, but that stuff was super scary when he's at Minnesota. And so they have a good coach. Paivea was Offensive Player of the Year, Conference USA. He's one of 8 players to lead his team in rushing and passing yards this year. They're an all-around offensive team. Like they put up – what was the score in the Liberty game? It was like 49-42 or something like that in the Conference USA title game.
49-35.
It was like back and forth. They protected reasonably well, only 8 interceptions. This game, like with Fresno State, and probably Fresno State, I don't know what to expect. This team just fell off the face of the earth. This game could potentially be like, I could see it being a big shootout potential in this game. Over-under's only 51. I think the over hits like with no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I also think, it could be a blowout. I think it could be a blowout with the Mexico State winner.
They are favored by 3.5.
If Fresno State wins, it's by less than a touchdown.
I think it'll be close. And we should start with the first one. Say Jeff Tedford stepped down for health issues. And as of now, it's just this game only, and he'll be back next year. But
Hold on. Trent Hudson did enter the transfer portal.
Oh, he did?
Too many. It's even in the article, Jeremy.
I'm bouncing around. I apologize. Which article? The one we have their bull opt-out page I'm not looking at? Maybe I should pull that ball up here. There it is. Yep. So Trent Hudson is gone. Dang it. Okay. So that changes a little bit, right? Obviously.
I mean, a little bit. He has been the touchdown guy, but they have thrown 18 other touchdowns to what? 10 other receivers.
Okay. That's fair. I'm glad you brought that up. I would feel like an idiot if we didn't go through that. Okay, well, let's get back to Fresno State. Anybody else? We have like Reggie Ackles, you have Terry Brooks, a couple other. They actually have 5 receivers in the portal right now, New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Not good. However, let me just double check here. Let's pull up the numbers to make sure we're not missing anybody else, because I'd feel like a fool. I'm just double checking. Chris Bellamy, no, he's there. I think it's mostly lower level receivers. We haven't played a ton this year. Jordan Parker, he has 3 touchdowns and 6 catches. Deep threats when he caught a couple passes. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much. That's
about it.
It's about it, yeah. So back to Fresno. Tedford's gone. for the game.
Temporarily.
Temporarily, which this is also not the first time he's had issues. 2019, stepped down as Fresno coach due to heart condition. Returned to 2021 to do what he did.
Didn't he step down from Cal due to health issues?
I believe as well. It doesn't say here, but I'm pretty sure that might have been the case. So this is temporary. Linebackers coach Tim Skipper's taken over. He's also the team's assistant head coach. I don't know how big a deal this will be, because Tedford's the offensive dude, and you're having a linebackers coach take over. Assistant head coach as well, not to disrespect. But I do wonder how big a deal that is. I'd say it's at least 10% an issue, right?
Yeah, more? I mean, I can see it pushing the line a couple points, too.
It could be, and especially with, like, their last month was awful. They got their butts kicked. They lost their final three games. We're not competitive against San Jose State. They were down versus Mexico and lost, and they lost to an inept San Diego State team.
I'm wondering if Tedford was feeling something and was like, all right, I don't want to be a distraction anymore, so let me step back and let the team do what they need to do. And maybe they use it as a rallying cry.
I could see that. I'm just wondering, like, what? I still don't watch them play. They just look bad. The offense was doing nothing. Maybe you're right, like, he wasn't feeling well, and there's other distractions. But it's not like the coach isn't throwing the football. The coach isn't blocking. The coach isn't playing defense. But when we look, if we assume they're basically full strength, Mickey Keene's going to be the QB. Logan Fife is in the portal. Nobody else. Raymond Scott, he's leaving the portal. So nobody of extreme significance. Fife kind of is because he played. But if we're looking at, Josh, like what Fresno has done all year, this should be a pretty close game. But I don't know, man. Like, they're ranked top 25. They beat Purdue. They beat Arizona State easily. Not that either team is amazing.
I think that probably should have been our warning sign, actually, now thinking back to it.
Which one?
Is the Arizona State game.
Oh, I've always said they're like +8 and only win like 29-0.
Yeah.
They should put up 40 points in that team.
Minimum.
The one thing where I think where their potential could be is I know we mentioned Aggies are pretty balanced, but they have 5 players with multiple interceptions on this team. And Carlton Johnson has 4. We know Lavelle Bailey's really good at linebacker. He had that weird in the Mexico thing, the interception, fumble, whatnot. So that's
2 hands on the ball if he gets another one.
I know, just do not let go. So we know they have the defense to be there, like the defense to at least make plays, but 42, 25, 33, their defense was just okay, but made plays. Like, Arizona State game, they made plays. Couldn't put it away.
Yeah.
I want to say Fresno can take care of this, but I'm just not confident, man.
I don't think a lot of people are either, which is why I think the line is where it is, too.
What does Fresno State have to do to get this win? Like, what do you think, like, their key thing to pull out the victory? An upset victory in this case as well.
Like, force someone else besides Pavia to make plays. Like, he's going to make plays. But if they can limit the amount of plays he makes, they have a chance. But otherwise, like, if they let him run wild, the game's over as soon as it starts.
Yeah, I think they'll need to. Yeah, because losing their main receiver Hudson, that's a big deal, 10 TDs. I'm still going to say, I just don't. There's a home field advantage crowd as well. Because remember when Utah State played them, New Mexico State before, like, was it Larry Rose or whatever the third, L. Rose the third? They beat them as, like, their first bowl game in a long time. Aggies don't go to bowl games very often. It's basically a home game. You mentioned it's a sellout, potentially. I got to think New Mexico State's going to win, like, 38-31 or something.
I'll say 38-27.
For Aggies?
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry, everybody, Fresno State fans, TJ out there. It's what we're going with. Next game, ABC, 4:30.
Gronk Bowl.
Excuse me, it's a Starco Brands LA Bowl presented by Gronk.
Something. The national anthem sung by Gronk.
Oh, yeah. Let's wait to see that. He wasn't a Masked Singer. Remember that. Played out in Inglewood. Bruins, 7-5. Boise's 8-5. Bruins are 4-point favorite. 49.5-point over under.
Did you see the other fact about UCLA playing in this game?
Which probably not. What do you got for me?
This SoFi State, they're playing in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
So this game is closer to their campus than the Rose Bowl is.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That is amazing. Oh, that's a good fact. So here's what we know about Boise State. Spencer Danielson, head coach permanent. We talked about that before. Injuries at quarterback. We already mentioned Taylen Green off to Arkansas. Eric McAllister is gone. Then Keenan McCaddy and Kyvon Wright are gone as well.
Eric McAllister's story got funnier.
What's the latest on that? I know he wanted to come back.
There was that. And then Avalos getting hired at TCU, where McAllister was expected to end up.
Oh, okay. I do remember seeing that now. I see. So that's where he's expected to go?
Yeah, because he's from the Fort Worth area.
Did he not like Andy Avalos? Wasn't that kind of the reason why?
Yeah, that's what makes it funny.
That's weird. Hey, maybe if he's in D.C. there, he doesn't interact with him, right? As much?
I mean, maybe. But you never know.
So who's going to be quarterback? We're going to have a true freshman starting quarterback for Boise State, C.J. Tiller.
Yeah, I don't believe he's taking a snap at all either.
I double checked 24/7, former 3-star guy, not a dual threat quarterback, so we're not going to see any runs like Taylen Green. Tiller is expected to get majority of the reps in practice. It's not official, but when you hear what Coach Danielson said, it looks like it's going to be Tiller.
So it's the Ash and Jinty show.
And that's what I was going to say. You know, no practice is like, Josh? Hand off right, hand off left.
Hand off left.
Pitch right, QB sneak when needed. It's going to be Jinty and Helani. That's how they're going to win. What game plan does the coach have when you have a guy who's never played? Not just never played. You know what? He probably hasn't practiced all year. You're QB3. You're lucky to get four reps a week.
Five yard curls.
Is this a what's his name? Riley Smith game?
Maybe.
I'm just saying, a big tight end game. Swing pass to Jinty. Swing pass to Helani.
Little flare out from the tight end. Yeah, maybe.
The quick wide receiver pass.
Yeah.
I don't think
they may take a shot here and there, but it's going to be the quick screen game, quick pass game.
You know what I'm going to call right now? You know what the first play of the game is going to be? It's going to be all four verts. That's what it's going to be. Just go first play, shotgun, Jinty to your right, four receivers, and just go deep.
Okay, Madden.
No, I'm just saying, hey, why not? If you've never played before, let's go out there and get a big play, see what happens.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get the juices going. All right, you're kind of nervous.
I was gonna say, get the blood flowing, get the nerves out of the way early.
Just go, hey, Utah did that versus Florida with freaking Bryson Barnes and went to a 70-something yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Just go deep. But honestly, you're right. Handoff, run, short game plan, short passing. And hope the defense can stop UCLA, who also, you know what's going to help Tiller here? Latu is out. Ted Hendricks Award winner, Lombardi Award winner, Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year is out on defense. And then you have...
All I saw was that Kelly was saying he was preparing for finals. Was there anything else on that, why he's missing the game?
What Chip Kelly has said... this is from the list Matt put together, but he basically said in an article I read or talked to media, if you're in the portal, you're not on the team, which I totally get because you're not part of the team next year. I know I bring up Utah a lot, but the reason Bryson Barnes is playing QB for Utah, and he's transferring, they literally have nobody else. They have nothing else for this team to play for Utah. But Chip Kelly's if you're in the portal, you're not part of this team. No, he's skipping it for the draft, looks like. Here's what it is, yeah. So it just happened, within the past 12 hours, from what I'm telling you here. Actually, no, 2 days ago, sorry. LA Daily News says he's preparing for the draft. Yeah, he's skipping for the draft, sorry, 2 days ago. So he's just gone. He's just opted out to go for the NFL draft, which is fine. He's not no portal guy. And also they're missing a couple coaches as well, I just realized too here. Let me, three assistant coaches are out for the game as well. He's too, sorry, I thought you said he's too busy collecting awards. I said no. He just has a lot on his plate. Finals coming up. Three finals. He's the only guy we have in that situation in terms of prep for the NFL and just trying to finish up school. So, like, okay, consensus All-American. So that's good for Boise State, for Genty, Helani, the QB Tiller coming in, where he's like, good, I don't have to face an All-American, one of the best defenders in the college football. Thank you.
I mean, everyone wants to make their own decisions, and I get it, but because you got to do what's best for you. But sometimes you got to put the team before the player. And I realize guys want to make their own decisions, but I feel like I wouldn't be the a guy to make that type of decision.
If you're a first round draft pick,
yeah. I mean, like I'm here. Like Latu's been there what 4 years?
Yeah, senior.
Something like that. Yeah. And, like. I get, like, you don't want to be a Jake Butt type of guy, but mm-hmm. I'd leave everything on the field.
I hear you. It's, yeah. And the reason they're down coaches, Ferris is going to be the head coach, Austin Peay, Jeff Ferris, Titans coach. Deontay Lynn, defensive coordinator, went to USC, which is a weird transition. Didn't even have to move. And then possibly. Ryan Gunderson, QB coach, is going to Oregon State. So, Kenny Amatuolu is going to be helping tight end. So, that could be a huge upgrade for them because he is like off the field. I wish they could leadership coach or something, technically.
Okay.
The former Navy coach. So, I'm not entirely sure. But, so when we look what Boise can do, and what. Oh, also, we should mention Dante Moore is not there either, quarterback. I forgot to mention him.
So there, I will say, it is not that bad of a situation for UCLA because Ethan Garbers is expected to get the start, and he has started 6 games this year.
Yeah, he played a good amount. They're also missing Kamari Ramsey, freshman, started 11 games. So a couple key players. Honestly, thinking not having Latu is huge for Boise's offense.
It's definitely going to help.
It's going to help a lot. The UCLA is missing a few receivers. But if you like watching, like seeing what I've seen from UCLA this year, I watched them play Utah. They did again. They literally did nothing. It was 14-7, and Utah had a defensive touchdown to get the win. And that was also let's have a freshman play against Utah Rice Eccles. I mean, that's never going to go well, just because of what Utah can do defensively, and it showed when they just crushed him. So UCLA was kind of underachieved this year. People thought they'd be a bit better. Like who's their biggest weapon on offense? Like Carson Steele running the ball.
Or Logan Loya.
Okay. Because they only finished 7-5, bottom of the Pac-12. They are just a meh team. Like, I guess to T.J. Harden as well. They have that dual threat running back situation. But how's Logan going to be with the new quarterback? Like, he's 60, almost 60 receptions, and Michael Sturtevant, if I've seen that properly. They played in the Pac-12 and scored a lot of points outside of playing Utah when I saw them play. They are in a situation where typically it's been there before. They lost 3 of the last 4. They did beat rival USC, but they lost to freaking Arizona State, man. Arizona State and Cal. They got their butt kicked against Cal, who's not very good.
Nevada beat San Diego State wasn't good, but they were still better than Nevada and lost to them 6-0.
I know, I'm just saying, like, I know Cal is better than ASU, but I guess ASU almost beat Washington, so maybe there's something there. Their wins aren't great. Like, you look at who they beat. They beat Coastal Carolina, not convincingly. They crushed San Diego State, easy win. I don't care about the FCS game. They beat Washington State, who ended up being not very good. They beat a bad Stanford team, and they beat a bad Colorado team. They beat they beat USC, who's okay. Like, they honestly have, like, what's their best win? Washington State?
Probably.
That's not a good win.
mean, it could be Coastal Carolina.
Maybe. The way Washington State finished? Could be Washington. Are they even going bowling? Let me pull it up here. Are they 6-6?
Who, Washington State?
Yeah, they were 4-1 at this time. At the time they played UCLA.
They finished 5-7.
So yikes. Coastal is, because Coastal's playing. Wait, they're playing San Jose State in the bowl game, right? Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, but Grayson McCall transferred to NC State.
I know. He wasn't playing anyways. He's injured. So, yeah, they started 4-0. Then they lost. Oh, my gosh. This is not a Washington
State. To be fair, actually, the best win might actually be USC.
It probably is, yeah. We're just half kidding. But that's it. Like, USC's 7-5. It's not like they are impressive.
I mean, they were for a little bit till Caleb Williams, or till the defense never decided not to show up.
Or their was it that when they played Utah, the linemen had two stupid penalties?
Yeah, that too.
Dude, they lost to Utah at home with a recently new scholarship quarterback who's not really that great.
Dude, they lost to UCLA at home too.
I know. Same. So how's this going to turn out? I think Boise's just going to run the ball 80% of the time and just run it down their third of UCLA.
Well, let's see. UCLA is a 4-point favorite.
Yeah, I saw that too. Like,
49.5 over under.
I might take the under in this. I probably will.
I'd probably go Boise 27, UCLA 24.
He's going to hit the over 51?
Barely. If it hits the over, it's barely going to do it.
I think it... Yeah, that's the way I'd see it, because I think the play clock or game clock is going to be running fast because Boise's not throwing the ball. If you were to put a number on passes they allow C.J. Tiller to have, what's the number? If I were to give you 13.5 pass attempts, is he going over or under that?
Over. I'll take the over on that.
17.5?
That's close.
is that a better?
My over-under is actually 18.5.
18. He's not getting 20. If he gets,
he's not getting 20. I think 18 is probably the right number.
Yeah.
Just to, like, because you can't. There are games where you just, like, you start out running the ball and they just can't stop you. So you throw in a pass or two to mess with them. But I think, like, just to get him some confidence and, like, keep, I think UCLA is probably thinking the same thing. Like, they're just going to run Helani and Ginty all day. So, you know, you're going to have to take a couple shots. You're going to have to throw a couple screens. So I'm saying 18, because I think that's what – is that what Green threw in the championship? How many did he throw?
Not many.
Threw 15.
Okay.
Ooh. So, yeah, I think 15 to 18 is probably a good safe amount.
They're going to pull a Michigan versus Penn State run like 50 times in a row.
Yeah.
I think Boise can win. I'm going to go 21-17 Boise State.
Okay.
I think they're going to win by a couple. UCLA, Gamblers hasn't played a ton this year. They're missing their best defender. Their running game is okay. Boise defense has shown, like what they did against Miami, they can make plays in the championship game for Shoe. So I think that's why it's going to be a close win for the Broncos. Do we have anything else to add for going a longer 65 minutes? I thought this might be 40 minutes.
Hey, we went off on how many tangents?
Hey, it's what we do, man. NC2, we didn't do a show last week. We had to make up for lost time. So think about it. If it's two shows, it's like 35 minutes each, right?
Yeah.
It basically was two shows. Bowl stuff compared to transfer news stuff. So that's what we got for you. All right, so yeah. Two games this weekend. 3:45 Mountain is the first game, Mexico Bowl. I also don't like the overlap. 5:30 Mountain for the LA Bowl. I'm not a fan of the overlap a little bit. Just get your dual screens, figure it out. Check out the games. We're going to have predictions on the site shortly. We have previews coming up right now. Well, some Q&As I'm working on. We'll be back. We'll have to figure out our Christmas schedule because Christmas is next week. But I think we'll be good to get what's going on with the way the bowl setup is. So we'll see you next time, folks. Check us out at mwbar.com for everything we have. And we'll just see you next week or next time, a couple days.